Amen. You may be seated, and if you would, turn with me for the final time to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be considering verses 18 through 24. Some have asked me if we'll ever finish with Ephesians or when we'll finish with Ephesians. And so we will finish with Ephesians today, sadly. And why I say sadly is this is a larger section that deserves more attention that we can give it this morning, but because I want us to focus on the cross and the resurrection and preparation for Good Friday and Easter, we will finish our study, which has gone on for a year and a couple months now in Ephesians, and I hope it's been beneficial to you. We come to this final section of Ephesians, and you'll notice that it breaks down into three sections. We're going to be focusing, if you will, on the first section, and just briefly talk about the second two, verse 18 through 20. You will note that it is a focus this morning on that Paul is teaching us on prayer as he ends this list of the armor of God that we have been studying. Then in verse 20 through 22, he explains why he has sent this person, Tychicus, to them with this letter. And then finally, in verses 23 through 24, as is Paul's tradition, he ends with a blessing and a benediction from God towards them. So if you would read with me the word of God this morning, beginning with verse 18 and going on through 24 through the end of the passage. Hear the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that you may that he may encourage you in your hearts. Peace be to you, brothers. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love the Lord Jesus with a love incorruptible. Let's pray. Father, now would you open the eyes of our heart as we seek your face in your word. We pray that you would reveal to us its glory and its joy. Grant us, we pray, the grace of the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And as we sing, hide us in the cleft of the rock. I pray that you would do so for me, and that all the words that come from my mouth would not be of me, that you would speak through me as a vile and sinful person and instrument in your hands to fulfill your purposes. So hide me that they may hear you and your word and the instruction given therein. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would, just a moment, allow me to turn to the second part, the second section, if you would, verses 20 through 22, as he explains to us his purpose for sending this person, Tychicus. Now, this seems like it's just kind of house cleaning kind of stuff that he's trying to do, but it is the Word of God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and therefore it is the Word of God. Verses 20 through 22, so that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything that I have sent him to you with this for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And Paul tells the Ephesian church the reason that he sends Tychicus. Now, more than likely, the letter was sent with Tychicus, meaning Tychicus delivered this letter of Paul to the Ephesian church. But notice that he's a lot more than a mailman, if you would. Paul calls him a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. And if you've ever been overseas or maybe you're in your travels, you come across somebody and you connect with them. And as you're talking, in your spirit, you go, this person must be a brother in the Lord. And so you ask them, are you a believer in Christ? Oh, yes, I am. And there's this wonderful, glorious kinship, if you would, that comes from meeting a brother or sister in the Lord. And Paul says that I've sent him for a purpose, and it's a twofold purpose. First, to inform the church in Ephesus about what Paul's doing and how Paul is. And then the second part of this is to encourage their hearts. And I just want to focus on that for just a little bit before we move on to the main section here. He both helps us to understand the depth of relationship between Paul and the Ephesians. Paul's heart's desire is for them to know what's going on with him, because they would be concerned about that. But also, he's sending a trusted brother with a very purpose of encouraging their hearts. And there are times and relationships in the body of Christ that help us all to understand the fullness of the bond of love that we have in Christ. Let's take a moment and look around. Some of you who are regulars might notice some people are missing. I hope this morning that you miss them. Their presence isn't here. And you miss them because they mean something to you. They have often encouraged your heart. This last week, we had a wonderful visit from two ladies, both of whom have been dorm parents in my old boarding school. When I was a kid, I grew up in the mission field in Pakistan. I went to a missionary boarding school from the fifth grade, basically through the 12th grade, minus the ninth grade, which I came back to the States. And these two ladies, Deb and Eunice, had been boarding parents in this boarding school for ages and ages and ages. And so now they're retired. And I wouldn't even say that they're retired, because they travel the world connecting with their kids. So I'm one of their kids, right? And so Neil brought them over, and we had this wonderful, wonderful, rich reunion. And there's just this bond with these two ladies that had been forged in boarding school, where we depended on each other as family. And my heart was just thrilled to see them again and to catch up with them. And for a moment, it just seemed like there was no time that had passed between us seeing each other once again. And I was so excited not only to see them, but I was also very excited for my kids to meet them. These are two extraordinary ladies. Deb is in her 70s, and Eunice is going to turn 80 this year. And they just had heard that the boarding school needs somebody to come for a year. And so they're going to go. They're going to return to Pakistan in their 70s and 80s, because there's just a need. And God's called them to fulfill that need. And so they asked us to pray for their visas. And so that's why I say they're not really retired, because they're always at work. But I was so encouraged by their visit. It challenged me and it encouraged my heart. And I was reminded of what it means to be in the service of the kingdom of God. That you never actually ever retire. That you're always constantly looking for that which God has called you to do. And I wonder, 25 years from now, I'm sore today because I did yard work yesterday. I don't know what 25 years from now will look like. Would I hear a need and say, I'm going to go fulfill that? because it's just from the Lord, and I just have to do it because it's part of building the kingdom of God. And so Eunice and Deb, after many years, encouraged my heart once again. And I wonder if we're like that with one another. Are there times where you just see one another's face and you're just encouraged? You're just encouraged to love deeper and richer and in a deeper, fuller way. Tychius comes to encourage their hearts. And I hope that we would desire to be a people who would always say, I desire to encourage one another, because that's a great and wonderful ministry. Now turn with me, if you would, to this second section, verses 18 through 20, as we look at the meat of the passage here this morning. This is the primary focus as Paul ends this list of the armor of God. And some people won't stick prayer in the armor of God because it doesn't have he said that it's the belt of truth and it's a helmet of salvation and it's a sword of the Spirit and it's a shield of faith. But prayer doesn't have a component. And so often people don't list that with the armor of God, but I think it is not only meant to be listed, but it is the very fuel that fills all the armor, because the Holy Spirit indwells you and I. And we need to be encouraged in praying in the Spirit. So that's going to be our focus this morning. And I just want us to look this morning at verse 18. Because Paul calls us to the ministry and a life of prayer. And notice how he puts it in this passage. First of all, verse 18, three instructions. We're to pray when? We're to pray at all times. We're to pray in the Spirit, and we're to pray with all prayer and supplication. And these three are connected and work together in helping us to grow in our relationship with the living God. And I want to begin with prayer in the Spirit, because it binds the other two together. So allow me to begin with the second of the three distinctions, prayer in the Spirit. And people will often say that what separates Christianity from all other world religions is the fact that it is not actually a religion. That Christianity is a relationship with the living God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his Son. And that the Spirit of the living God that once indwelled the tabernacle and once indwelled the glory of Solomon's temple now indwells you and I. That we are now the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And so Paul says that we're to pray in the Spirit. And as such, Christians are not simply called to pray in a rote, ritual, religious type of way. In order to somehow to please a deity. But we're invited, encouraged to enter into a conversation with the God of all eternity. Yes, every little child here, through the blood of Christ, can enter into a conversation with the God of the universe and have his complete attention. But not only are we invited into a conversation with, but we're also invited into a conversation that is going on within the Trinity. And notice I said both of them. First, with. We often see that prayer, rightly, is a privilege that we have to enter the throne room of God, as Hebrews says, with boldness and confidence, because of the blood of Jesus. We're invited into a conversation with God. And it's made possible through the grace of God that he grants us through Jesus Christ. The men's group have been reading through Hebrews in half-hour stints on Saturday morning. And I just want to bring some things to light from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, listen along as I read. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of all good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Then again from Hebrews chapter 4, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavenly realms, Jesus, the Son of God. Sorry, I lost my microphone. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we have and yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus has made the way for us to come in and have a conversation with the living God. But greater than that, we're actually invited into a conversation that is constantly going on within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Notice, if you would, that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is constantly in a conversation of prayer. We don't often think about the fact that there is this constant conversation going on within the Trinity. But if you listen to Isaiah chapter 9, after Isaiah has been cleansed with the coal from the altar, it says that he heard the voice of God, and God said, who shall we, conversation within the Trinity, who shall we send, and who shall go for us? Now, what's the conversation within the Trinity? First of all, we are told in the scriptures that Jesus is constantly interceding for us. That Jesus, once his redemptive work is done, is praying for us constantly before the throne of God. Where do we find that? Hebrews chapter 7. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in their office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, speaking of Jesus, because he continues forever. Constantly, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. And then listen to this. Since he always lives and makes intercession for them. Do you realize that at this very moment, Jesus, the eternal Son, is speaking to the Father on your behalf? He is praying and interceding for you. Therefore, as we pray, Jesus the Son is also interceding for us. But not only Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is interceding. Look with me again at Romans chapter 8 that Jack read for us earlier. Verse 26. Likewise, talking about the Spirit. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he, the Father, who searches the heart, knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. What a wonderful and comforting passage that when we, it says, do not even know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit is praying. Now, some of you have been in those places of profound pain and grief and anguish, where everything is upside down and inside out and dark. And you just go, I don't even know what to say, let alone to pray. And notice what Paul says. Because if you opened your mouth, a groan would come out of your soul that would awaken your neighbors and scare them. But notice what Paul says. The Holy Spirit groans before the throne of God with groans too deep for words. Meaning that the Holy Spirit is taking what you are feeling but cannot express, and he expresses it before the throne of God in the way that only you and him can know. And so Jesus intercedes, and the Holy Spirit intercedes, not only with groans from our hearts that are too deep for words, but he also intercedes for us, verse 27, in accordance with the will of God. So therefore, when Paul says, pray at all times, we can enter into this conversation with the Trinity. Jesus the Son is praying for us all the time. And the Holy Spirit is interceding for us all the time. And therefore, we are encouraged, not as a ritual of, oh, did I pray enough? Did I pray enough? Did I pray enough? But simply to enter into this conversation with God the Father anytime and anywhere. And in fact, we should practice doing that more often. And then the second instruction is with all kinds of prayers and supplications. Often we use the acronym ACTS, adoration, A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication. And notice Paul tells them to pray for certain things here as well. Pray for the saints and pray for Paul and the furthering of God's kingdom through his ministry. So Paul says, pray at all times. There shouldn't be a time that you shouldn't be praying. And then pray with all kinds of prayers. Sometimes it's praise and adoration. Sometimes it's confession. Sometimes it might be thanksgiving. Sometimes it's supplication, praying for others, interceding for their needs as well. So how do we do that? Let's return to pray in the Spirit very quickly. I know this seems like a crass way of describing this, but I want to suggest to us that it is kind of like tuning into our favorite radio station. It's out there. We know it's there. We know it's close to that. And sometimes it's not coming in and it's fuzzy. And sometimes we just nudge it just a little bit and it comes in as clear as day. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit resides in each one of us. The problem is that it's not that the Holy Spirit is not speaking or guiding or directing. We're just not in tune with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we don't practice the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God comes from a book by Brother Lawrence in the 1600s. Practicing the presence of God is continually being in this conversation and living and keeping in step with the Spirit according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. He says, if we live by the Spirit, we should also keep in step with the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is living and active in each one of us. And we need to learn to tune in to what the Spirit of God is doing and simply have this conversation with him. I don't know if you remember, but last week as I was praying, I forgot to say amen. And I just went on to announce the hymn. And some of you guys were still down there like that. You know why? Because amen means so be it. But we use amen as a punctuation. Period, end of prayer, let's move on. Maybe we need to stop saying amen more and just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Whether it's as a group or whether it's as an individual in the day, constantly being in the presence of God. I would encourage you just to think in this way as you learn to begin to practice the presence of God in the, with the Holy Spirit. Begin your day as you open your eyes and as you say good morning to your spouse and your children, say good morning to the Holy Spirit who is present and active in your heart. Acknowledge his presence and thank him in your life. As the realities of your day begin to progress and come up, bring them to the Holy Spirit and ask what the will of the Father is for this moment and that moment, for this decision and that decision. Give thanks for God's providence as it appears moment by moment. Whether it's the joy of witnessing a glorious sunset, praise God. Or whether it's receiving or tasting a delicious food or even a jelly belly. Now, those people on the internet are going to not know what that means because of Doug's little talk here wasn't recorded. Enjoy your taste buds. Give thanks for them. The fellowship of a friend that warms your heart. Give thanks for him or her or a group. Then thank him sometimes for nothing. You ever thank God for nothing? I hope you have. This is actually taken from a sermon of one of my mentors. He preached on thanking God for nothing. Nothing happened today that led me to the hospital. I thank you, God, that nothing happened today as I drove home. God, I thank you that nothing interfered with that conversation. I thank you that nothing. There's times we need to realize that God keeps us from things as well. And then practice to seek the Lord with all that you don't know. Whether it's simply, where did I leave my keys because I'm late? Ask the Lord. Or whether it's something perplexing in your heart or a decision that you need to make the Lord. He cares about both. As people come to your mind, ask how to intercede for them because the Spirit knows what's going on in their hearts at that very moment, even though you don't. And ask the Lord to lead you in prayer for them. And then join with Jesus and the Holy Spirit as he prays for them. As sin comes to your thoughts and attitudes in your heart and mind, quickly recognize them. Because the Holy Spirit is bringing attention to them. Don't linger on them. Repent of them. Confess them. And receive grace and forgiveness and release and move on. And then 5 minutes later, do it again because it will probably happen again. Until you learn the practice of recognizing that the Holy Spirit is in control. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you where he is at work in the hearts of people that he is drawing to himself. Ask him to give you the words in a conversation when you answer their questions. Ask them to give you the conversations that you need wisdom for when your grandchildren ask you questions that would make theologians either blush or be confused. Ask for those things. Because the scriptures tell us that he will give us words. Ask God for your daily bread. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer. And then ask him if you should take seconds or not. Because if he's the one giving the daily bread, ask him if you're permitted. And as you close your eyes and say goodnight to those you love, say goodnight to the Holy Spirit. and ask him to control your thoughts, your sleep. For the scriptures tell us that the Lord gives sleep to those he loves. Learn to practice the presence of God. Learn to daily interact with his Holy Spirit in the minor, minute things of life and in the large things of life, until you recognize that you cannot live without being in contact, in prayer, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray, and as we pray, I'm simply going to pray the benediction from Paul's ending of his letter. Peace be to you, brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus with a love incorruptible. Amen. Would you rise as we sing our hymn of death?